Matthew chapter 28 and verse 9. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them saying, all hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. So if you get this, as I got it, he told Mary Magdalene, he said, hey, you can't touch me. But others' disciples touched the body of Jesus. Thomas was permitted to touch the body of Jesus, and so forth and so on. Why could not Mary Magdalene touch the body of the Lord Jesus Christ? You say, because she is a woman. That's not the right answer. God gives us the answer in the Bible. But it intrigued me why Mary could not touch the Lord Jesus, but 8 days later, Thomas could. It intrigued me why Mary could touch the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, but 2 days later, as Jesus Christ was walking to his disciples, then the disciples could wrap their arms around the feet of Jesus and love on him just a little bit. Why could not Mary Magdalene touch the body of Jesus? Jesus is giving us a great truth here that you can only understand as you go back to the Old Testament and compare Scripture with Scripture. I'm going to tell you tonight, the Bible's like a puzzle. It's 66 pieces. You've got to put a piece here and a piece there and a piece here and a piece here to make the whole picture come out. I want to tell you why couldn't Jesus Christ be touched. I want to tell you these two things, then we get into the message. Christ was the perfect sacrifice on the cross of Calvary. When Jesus Christ hung on the cross of Calvary between heaven and earth, he cried out, it's finished. There are 7 sayings on the cross that our Christ done as he hung. Keep your place here in John. Find somehow to mark it, if you will, in John chapter 20. And find your place in Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 16. You might not see it now, but I hope you'll see it when we're through, that these two chapters go hand in hand. Leviticus chapter 16 and John chapter 20. We've already read a few verses in John chapter 20, so find somehow to mark that and then look in Leviticus chapter 16. We're going to read a few verses together. I'm not going to give you the answer to the question tonight until the very end of the message. I'm going to tell you why Mary Magdalene could not touch the body of Jesus Christ. Is anybody interested in why she couldn't touch the body? I'm glad you are. I want you to listen tonight. I'm not going to try to keep your attention. I'm not going to preach in such a way where I will keep your attention. But I'm going to give you some Bible truth, some Bible knowledge tonight that maybe help you out. Look here, if you would, Leviticus chapter 16. Notice what it says here in verse 3 and 4. Leviticus chapter 16, verse 3 and 4. This chapter is speaking about the high priest, about making the atonement, about placing the sacrifice on the altar for God. It says here in Leviticus chapter 16 and verse 3 and 4, thus shall Aaron come into the holy place with a young bullock for a sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering. He shall put on the holy linen coat and he shall have the linen breeches upon his flesh and shall be girded with the linen girdle and with the linen mirth shall he be attired. These are holy garments, therefore shall he wash his flesh in water and so put them on. Here's Aaron, the high priest, the only one that was allowed to go into the Holy of Holies. Here he is going into the temple of God. He is going to the holy place of God. He is going to make an atonement for the sins of his people. You got to remember in the Old Testament, they would make a sin offering. They would take that sin offering and kill it and drain his blood into a basin or drain his blood into a cistern and take that blood and apply it to the altar in a particular place to cover God's people's sin for just a year. Hey, thank God Christ's blood cleanses from all sins forever, for all eternity. But notice what it says here, that this high priest was to put on the holy garments, and these holy garments was made out of linen. He had a linen coat, he had linen breeches, a linen myrtle, he had all those holy garments to put on. He is supposed to wash his body, make his body clean, and then put on these holy garments. Turn back if you would. Well, you don't have to turn there, but let me read this Bible verse to you. I appreciate what it says here in Matthew chapter 27. Listen to what the Word of God says here in Matthew chapter 27 and verse 57 and verse 58 and verse 59. The Bible says here, now, when the evening was come, there came a rich man. His name was Joseph, who also himself was Jesus' disciple. He went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be delivered. And when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in clean linen cloth. So you're starting to see the comparison here. Jesus Christ, when he died on an old rugged cross, that fellow named Joseph took his body off the cross. He asked Pilate if he could have the body. The man gave Joseph the body. Hey, Joseph went and wrapped Jesus Christ's body in linen cloth. The Bible says that the high priest was to put on the holy linen garments, my friend. It's a type and picture of what Christ, how Christ is our high priest, how Christ is the one who applies the blood. He makes the atonement. He is the sacrifice, but he also makes the atonement for our sins. Hey, he was entire. He was wrapped in not grave clothes, but high priestly clothes. That linen was wrapped around Christ as is also wrapped around a high priest. It also says this for us about the high priest in Leviticus chapter 16. Look what it says here in verse 6. In Leviticus chapter 16 verse 6, the Bible says, "And Aaron shall offer his bullock for a sin offering, which is for himself, and make an atonement for himself and for his house." If you read all the verses down to verse 14, it speaks about how Aaron was supposed to make an atonement for himself to get his sins cleansed, to get his sins covered by the blood. He was supposed to take a sin sacrifice and kill that sacrifice and take that blood. I believe he was supposed to dip his finger and sprinkle it on the altar 7 times, cleansing himself from his sins. The only way a high priest can ask God to forgive God's people of sin was for him to be sinless himself. And Aaron had to make an atonement for his own self. But the Bible says that God, who knew not sin, the Bible says that Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son, was never a sinner, has never sinned, has never, could never sin. Some people say that Christ could have sinned, but he didn't choose to sin. I don't believe Christ could have sinned if he wanted to, because he's the same yesterday and today and forevermore. If he could have sinned 2,000 years ago, then he still could sin today. And if Christ sins today, then we've got a problem with the sacrifice. The sacrifice is not good enough for God if Christ could have sinned. But Christ could never sin. This high priest was supposed to make an atonement for himself and cleanse his own self from his sins so he could put the sacrifice for his people right with God. Here, Jesus Christ never did sin, so he was able to make the perfect sacrifice for our sins. Aaron had to get his sins covered so he can have his God's people's sins covered by the blood, but Jesus Christ never committed one sin. So, my friend, he was the perfect high priest. He was the perfect high priest. Let me read this verse to you. You don't have to turn there, but it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21. The Bible says this: "For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteous of God in him." How can Jesus Christ do a complete work in a man's life? How can Jesus Christ make the perfect sacrifice for our sins? I've heard this story. I've heard the song. I've heard this illustration that it only takes one drop of blood to cleanse a man from sin. Well, it takes more than just one drop of blood. If that was true, then Christ could take a stick pin and stick his finger and squeeze one drop of blood out and let it hit the ground, and it could please God for the whole entire world. But it didn't take just one drop. It took all of his blood. It took his life. The Bible says that the life of a man is in his blood. The blood had to be shed. The blood had to be drained. His life had to be taken. He gave his life to God so we could be saved from sin. This high priest who wore these linen garments, my friend, had to make an atonement for himself before he could make an atonement for others, because he had to be sinless. But thank God we had the sinless one to come that shed his blood so we could be saved. Jesus Christ, the perfect, sinless Son of God. Thank God for that. I'm not worried about my salvation tonight. I'm not worried I'm not worried, my friend, if I'm going to be able to hold on, because I'm not holding on to God. God's holding on to me. He was a perfect sacrifice. He's never sinned. So he shed his blood to cover my wages. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. Christ died. He took my place. His blood was imputed and counted upon me. It was put on my account. And my friend, we have a great story here before us. I don't want to ruin the end. I want to get to it before I ruin it. But the holy garments. Christ wore those grave clothes, which was his holy garments. Christ was our high priest because he went into the tomb to make a sacrifice to please God. But notice this, if you will, Leviticus chapter 16 and verse 15. The Bible says, then, after Aaron has made an atonement for himself and purified himself from sin, he's making an atonement for God's people. It says in verse 15, then shall he kill the goat of the sin offering. That is for the people, and bring his blood within the veil, and do with that blood as he did with the blood of the bullock, and sprinkle it upon the mercy seat and before the mercy seat. It says here, verse 16, and he shall make an atonement for the holy place because of the uncleanness of the children of Israel, and because of their transgressions and all their sins. And so shall he do for that tabernacle of the congregation that remaineth among them in the midst of their uncleanness. So here, Aaron was there. He made an atonement for his sins. He killed an animal. He shed an animal's blood to cover his sins. And because he was pure, and because he was clean from sin, then he can make an atonement for God's people for sin, because he is the high priest. And the Bible says here that he took the goat. He killed the goat. He sprinkled the blood upon the mercy seat. And my friend, that mercy seat is a great picture of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ tonight. I want you to see the mercy seat here. If you're turning to Exodus, turn to Exodus real quick. And don't lose your place in Leviticus, but turn if you would to Exodus chapter 37. I want you to see what the mercy seat is, how it was built, what's taking place. As you turn there, I'll read it to you, then tell you what I believe is going on here. In Exodus chapter 37. In verse 6, the Bible says, he made the mercy seat of pure gold, two cubits and a half was the length thereof, and one cubit and a half the breadth thereof. And he made two cherubims of gold, beaten out of one piece, made he them on the two ends of the mercy seat. One cherubim on the end of this side, and the other cherubim on the other end of that side. Out of the mercy seat made he the cherubims on the two ends thereof. And the cherubim spread out their wings on high and covered with their wings over the mercy seat with their face one to another, even to the mercy seat were the face of the cherubims. So here, God gave the instruction to build a mercy seat. I want you to really get this so you'll understand the message tonight. The Ark of the Covenant. I'm not talking about the Ark that Noah was on. There's two Arks in the Bible. Ark that Noah was on and his family, and then the Ark of the Covenant. It was just a box. Remember, John Moxley was here, and he had a picture of the Ark of the Covenant. It was a box made out of pure gold. It was overlaid with pure gold, and in that ark was Aaron's rod that budded. It was manna that fell from heaven, and it was also the Ten Commandments. It was God's holy laws that was in the Ark of the Covenant. And on that Ark of the Covenant, they sealed it with a mercy seat. And on the mercy seat, it was just a cover, or top to go on the Ark of the Covenant. And on this side was a cherubim. On this side was a cherubim. And both of them was facing each other. They was facing each other. And below them was the mercy seat. And what the high priest was supposed to do, he was supposed to take that blood and sprinkle it on the mercy seat to please God, to cover God's people's sins for a year. So tonight, just say this communion table. This communion table tonight is the Ark of the Covenant. Somebody help me put the flyer back when we get through, so it'll be right. But this right here is the Ark of the Covenant. It's just a table that is overlaid with gold, pure gold, beautiful. I believe God's work should always be done first class. Amen. I believe it ought to be done the best we can. Amen. Here's the Ark of the Covenant. It's just a box. Inside the box was the law of God. And my friend, every one of us has broken the law You say, well, I lived the Ten Commandments. You probably haven't. You probably broke one of them. You probably broke one. If you broke one, the Bible says you're guilty of all. You know, the Bible contains 613 commandments, not just the 10, but 613, and there's no way you can live them. And even if you could live the 613 commandments, if you don't do it with pure love, you haven't obeyed the law of God. So here's the Ark of the Covenant. Inside of it is the law of God, which condemns every one of us. Because of God's law, we have to die to go to hell. Because of God's law, none of us is righteous enough to go to heaven on their own account, on their own merit, on their own goodness. Because of God's holy law, we've broken God's law, the payment of sin is dead, we all have to die and go to hell. So in this ark is the law of God. And on top of it was a beautiful mercy seat with an angel on this side and an angel on this side looking at each other. And the high priest was going to take the blood and apply it to the mercy seat so it would cover the law for just 1 year. I want you to notice here, the mercy seat was given to us in Exodus. And in Leviticus, the high priest was using the mercy seat to atone for God's people. Turn here if you would to John. I want to show you a great picture. Great picture. Don't try to shout too much now. This microphone will pick it up. John chapter 20. Notice what it says here about the mercy seat. John chapter 20. Look what it says here. In verse 11. But Mary stood without at the sepulcher weeping. As she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulcher. And I want you to notice what Mary saw when she looked into the sepulcher. And seeth two angels in white sitting. The one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. That's a mercy seat right there, folks. His body was in the sepulcher. His grave clothes, the high priest's grave clothes, was just laid out where the body of Jesus was. And one angel sitting on this side, and another angel sitting on this side. And as Mary Magdalene walked in, she saw the mercy seat that Jesus became for every one of us. He became the mercy seat, which covers the law of God, which contains and holds the law of God. Hey, praise God tonight. My Savior became my mercy seat, so I don't have to die and go to a devil's hell. I can be saved tonight. Why is that as that publican and sinner came, that publican said, Lord, that sinner said, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. That publican said, I'm not as other men are. I'm not a sorcerer. I'm not unjust. I'm not a drunk. I'm none of those things. But the sinner said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That word merciful means be the mercy seat for me. My friend, we've got a mercy seat in Jesus Christ. He's got the law of God in him. And he lived such a perfect life and never sinned. And he could die for every one of us. And an angel stood on this side. And an angel stood on that side. Just declaring to all of us that Jesus Christ is the perfect mercy seat. I want to show you this. Jesus Christ wore the clothes of the high priest. Them holy linen garments. Jesus Christ was the high priest because the high priest had to be clean to make an atonement for the sins of his people. And Christ has never sinned, so he was clean from the very birth, my friend. He was clean ever since the very beginning, whenever that was. There's a mercy seat. The law of God was inside the ark. I want you to remember that. But here's the question for tonight. Jesus said here in John chapter 20, Jesus said unto her, touch me not. Why couldn't she touch him? Here's the answer. In the same verse. For I am not yet ascended up to my Father. But I go to my brother. But he said, go to my brother and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father. And to my God and your God. Remember what it says here. Turn if you would to Leviticus 16. Notice what it says. Leviticus 16. It speaks about how Aaron made a sacrifice for his sins to clean his own sins. How he made a sacrifice for God's people to clean their sins. How he applied it to the mercy seat. Notice what it says here in verse 17. And there shall be no man in the tabernacle of the congregation when he goeth in to make an atonement for the holy place. Until he come out and have made an atonement for himself and for his household and for all the congregation of Israel. This high priest washed his body. He was cleansed. He was cleansed on the outside because he washed. He had the high priest clothes on his body, which is the holy linen garments. He made an atonement for his own sins, so it cleansed him from on the inside. The blood cleansed his sin from the inside. He was cleansed on the outside by the water. Hey, we've got the water tonight. It's the precious word of God, and it makes you clean on the outside. The Holy Spirit of God, which is Jesus Christ, my friend, he comes to move inside and makes you clean on the inside. The word of God makes you clean on the outside. But I want you to notice what's going on here. The high priest could not touch another person until he made the atonement for his people. Because if he come in contact with somebody that was unclean, then he will become unclean. He will become unclean. He will become dirty. The high priest washed his body, put on the holy linen garments, made an atonement for himself. He was going to make an atonement for God's people to cover their sins for a year. And no man could be in the congregation with them. No man could be in the tabernacle in the Holy of Holies with them, because if that person's sins was not covered by the blood and he went out and touched the holy high priest, it will make the high priest unclean. So when Mary Magdalene come up and will wrap her arms around Jesus Christ, he said, "Mary, I hate to tell you this, but you can't touch me right now." Why not, folks? Why not? She was unclean. She wasn't righteous in herself. But you know what Jesus Christ said? Look what he said here. Notice what it says here in John 20. John 20. I hope it blesses you the way it blessed me. He said, "For I am not ascended unto my Father, but I go to my brethren, and I say unto them, I ascend unto my Father, your Father, and my God, and your God." You know what he said he's going to do? Boy, this is good. He said, "Mary, you can't touch me yet." He said, "You can't touch me yet, because I've not yet applied the blood to go to God's mercy seat." Hey, God's judgment seat became a mercy seat. And Jesus Christ said, "Hey, Mary, you can't touch me yet. I've not finished all that God wants me to do. All I got left to do is just take my precious blood." You remember the Bible says he has sent it out down into the pits of the earth? You read the Bible says he has sent it down into the heart of the earth. He led captivity captive, my friend. That's when hell expanded herself. And the Bible says hell has enlarged herself. You know what Jesus Christ does? He went down there on the paradise side of hell and let all the Old Testament saints out so they could go to be with God in heaven. And not only that, but somehow he went and captured all the blood that flowed from his veins and to the heart of the earth. He captured all that blood somehow. He went back up and said, "Hey, Mary, I know you want to touch me, but don't touch me yet. I've got to go to heaven. I've got to take my blood. I've got to apply to God's mercy seat." So when God in heaven looks down upon you, he looks down. I want to show you this real quick. Let me just show you this before we go somewhere else. Turn back to Leviticus, if you will. Oh, God help us here. Leviticus chapter 16. Boy, we're going to get somewhere right here in just a few minutes. I want to share this with you. Leviticus chapter 16 and verse 2. Leviticus chapter 16, verse 2. "And the Lord said unto Moses, speak unto Aaron, thy brother, that he come not at all times unto the holy place wherein the veil before the mercy seat, which is upon the ark." So the mercy seat was upon the ark. And notice what was on the mercy seat. The Bible says that he died not, for I will appear in the cloud upon the mercy seat. So here's what's going on, church. Hey, God's got a mercy seat in heaven. Hey, the mercy seat is right up here. I believe it's right in front of the throne of God. Here, Jesus Christ, God Almighty told Moses to tell Aaron, don't come into the mercy seat without, don't come into the Holy of Holies without blood, because the mercy seat is on the Ark of the Covenant, which contains the law of God, and God is before the mercy seat. God's before the mercy seat. Every time God looks down at us, he looks down through the law and sees those unrighteous, hell-deserving, hell-bound sinners. That's what he looks at. When God is upon the mercy seat, he looks down, he knows the law's there. We've all broken the law. We've all transgressed and sinned against God. God looks at us as sinners. But thank God when Jesus Christ went to heaven and took that blood, put it on the mercy seat. When God looks down now, he don't see the law we've broken.
see the blood that's been shed. When God is upon his altar, God is upon his throne, and he's looking down upon the mercy seat, which Jesus Christ is the perfect mercy seat. He's not seeing the law of God. He's seeing the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed. Jesus Christ said, Mary, hey, you can't touch me yet. Hey, but go tell my brothers that I'm going to sit up the high. I'm going to go to my God and your God, my Father. I'm going to take my blood and apply it to the mercy seat. So when God looks down from heaven, he's not going to see hell deserving, hell bound sinners, but he'll see people who's covered in the precious blood of Jesus Christ who becomes his children. I want you to know, my friend, the Bible says if you're not born again, that he never knew you. So God in heaven tonight don't know some people in this world because they're not his children. But every one of us that he knows because we've been born again, when he looks at you and calls your name, he looks at you through the blood. And that's something. The blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sins. How does it cleanse us from all sins? Every time God looks down, all he sees is the blood. Every time God looks down, and he's got the law before, but he can't see it, he sees the blood. My friend, I want to tell you, Jesus Christ and Mary, you can't touch me yet. That puzzled me. That bothered me. Why could not Mary touch him? Because Jesus Christ had to go to heaven to apply the blood so we could be forgiven, so we could be set free. I want you to notice, 8 days later, 1 week later, he comes to Ruth. He said, Thomas, I want to tell you something, boy. Throw your fingers in my hands. Brush your hand to my side. He said, it's all right to touch me. It's all right to hug me. It's all right to kiss me. Because the blood's been applied. Because you're saved. Because you're forgiven. Because you're redeemed. Because you're one of God's children. Hey, thank God tonight that Jesus Christ not only was the perfect sacrifice for sin, but my friend, he was the perfect atonement for our sins. He was the great high priest who put the blood upon the mercy seat so we can go free in God's eyes. God in heaven looks down. He's looking through the blood. He don't see Scott Bass, a hell-deserving, hell-bound sinner. He just sees a man who's covered in the blood of Jesus. Mary couldn't touch him because she was unclean. Because he hadn't finished the job. Thank God he's finished the job. And we've been set free. We've been set free from our sins. Father, we thank you for this day, for your goodness, for your faithfulness. Pray, God, you'll help us now. Lord, we thank you for what you've done for us. Lord, we thank you for the illumination of the Holy Spirit of God, how the Word of God contains secrets, it contains mysteries, but the Holy Spirit of God will reveal them to us. Lord, the Bible says we work from faith to faith. We live by faith to faith. If we exercise the faith we have now, you'll give us more faith. If we exercise on the truth we have now, you give us more truth. If we're obedient to the Word of God, what we know now, you give us more of the Word of God to be obedient to. I thank you tonight for this great truth that I can share with my brothers and sisters in Christ. That we have a perfect sacrifice, perfect atonement. We don't have to worry. We don't have to fret. We don't have to be scared. Because Jesus Christ finished the job that you've given him to do. Lord, I thank you and I love you tonight. Help us in this invitation now in Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed, eyes closed for just a few minutes. The invitation begins tonight. You say, preacher, what should I come to the altar and pray for? Well, won't you just take a few minutes tonight and thank God for what he's done for you? That he's the perfect sacrifice. He's the atonement. He's the only reason tonight you can go to heaven is because he finished his job.